make a wish, take a bite, count to three. Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin in a world of crunching satisfaction. What we'll see will defy sogification. Welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. I am a cereal enthusiast named Justin McElroy.
And I am a cereal cornithologist. It's sort of like an ornithologist, but instead of studying birds, I study the effect of corn on sort of ruining cereals that I've loved so much. And my name is Dan Gobert, by the way.
Kind of an activist. Mm-hmm. It's research, but it's got a real political bent to it. This is The Empty Bowl. What does this mean for you? Well, my friend, it means that this is a time when you can relax, you can zone out, you can get in a comfy position, be it sitting, be it laying, be it standing. This is not our place to judge. And you can just give yourself permission to, for a little bit, just think about cereal. Dan has got some great news and reviews lined up for us. We're going to talk about some other fun stuff, but let's just get right into it. I'm ready to hear about the news in the world of cereal.
So the current news in the cereal community is that the bar for creative exploration of new cereals has been lowered even more.
Oh no.
So if you've been listening for a bit, you know that I'm a bit critical of Kellogg's in particular for pretty much just recycling the same sugary ring cereal variant for all kinds of licensed cereals and new spinoffs. We saw it for Lucio O's, we saw it for Toy Story 4 cereal, we saw it for SpongeBob cereal. But now they're doing something a little bit different to try and make us think that they've made a new cereal. It's called Kellogg's Mashups, and it is being called a first-of-its-kind sort of cereal fusion in that it contains 50-50 mix of Frosted Flakes and Fruit Loops in one box.
I mean, it's just unacceptable. I mean, I know this is supposed to be relaxing, and I think we've been probably the industry's most vocal critics of a lack of originality in the cereal marketplace, but Hachi Machi, this is just too much.
Yeah, we saw not too long ago when General Mills and Lucky Charms did a Lucky Charms Frosted Flakes variant, and that alone was only original in the sense that General Mills didn't already have a Frosted Flakes type of cereal. But now Kellogg's is literally just, you know, redirecting the production tubes on their various cereal machinations to just put a little bit more of each into one box. And I'd be a little less upset if they actually used a combination of Kellogg's cereals that was actually fun. Because as far as I'm concerned, Frosted Flakes adds nothing to any sort of cereal that it's merged with. The flavor profile is just sugar and corn. And as a registered cornithologist, I know that that can't do anything to support Fruit Loops, especially because not too long ago, as you might remember, they did the All Together cereal,
right,
where they put a bunch of different Kellogg cereals mini boxes in one with the implication that you'd try them together. And I did so only to find that Frosted Flakes was not a team player when it came to introducing anything interesting to the mix. So when you have things like Apple Jacks, Corn Pops, Raisin Bran, Cocoa Krispies, or Crave even from the Kellogg's catalog, I understand that you would want to pick Frosted Flakes just because Tony the Tiger is largely the face of the Kellogg cereal brand.
Right.
But you got to do something else to introduce more to this idea. Otherwise, all we're going to be getting out of this Kellogg's mashup cereal is extra sugary Fruit Loops.
Which, fine. That's a great... I mean, I'm glad... texturally, also, this seems like a really weird fit to me. Like, trying to imagine eating it, it's a little bit nails on a chalkboard for me.
I think we've discussed in this podcast the very exact issue of mixing flakes and loops into one construct.
It's nuts and gum, baby. It's nuts and gum.
Yeah, and it appears that no one has learned from history, thus it must repeat itself with Kellogg's Mashup cereal.
Speaking of history repeating itself, Dan, is this right that there's another Minion cereal?
You know, that's interesting because I saw this on my timeline and I was confused. It is Minion's Vanilla Vibe cereal, and it is in fact not a different cereal from the Minion's Birthday Cake cereal that we talked about a couple episodes ago. It seems that, strangely enough, the original picture of the Minion's Birthday Cake cereal, which had a box art that was very generic, you might compare it to Minion's Banana Berry cereal in terms of the, again, box art, but it seems like mass media started reporting on that immediately about how there was a Minion's Birthday Cake cereal coming to stores. But suddenly they decided to switch up the branding altogether and put a more original image of a Minion with headphones on it. They changed the name to Vanilla Vibe cereal, and it is otherwise just the same, a collection of puffed spheres in both cream and blue that will probably taste about the exact same as every other vanilla cereal out there. So this is really largely a non-news topic, but in the interest of, you know, human interest stories, I had to put it out there.
Or Minion interest stories.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny, because I was looking up Minion's Vanilla Vibe cereal to see if I could find anything, and there's just a whole host of interesting results out there. First of all, this is a phenomenon that I've strangely noted, is that I often try to be the first one to review a new cereal out of all the many snack food bloggers out there. I very rarely get to actually do this, but it seems that family YouTubers get to do this way sooner than everybody else. Like, somebody already reviewed Vanilla Vibe cereal like 2 weeks ago before I even knew it existed.
I mean, that's you. You're getting to the kids. The kids are telling their parents what to get, right?
Mm-hmm. I also noticed from Googling this that someone is still selling Minion's Banana Berry cereal from 2015 for $64 used on eBay. Used.
Oh, no. eBay,
what does that even mean?
No, that's no good.
And, of course, this ad was flanked on both sides by two ads for Minion's scented cologne.
Sure, when you want to. I guess there's probably banana notes. I mean, there have to be, right? I guess.
It says that it includes tarragon, lemon, lime, and iris. The scent's middle note consists of apple, and base notes are made from simple combinations of vanilla, tonka bean, and amber.
I was hoping you'd say tonka bean. It felt like the place for tonka bean.
Yeah, it's a really Minions type of smell.
Okay, well, maybe these first two haven't exactly been earth-shattering, but I feel like you're about to rock us all on our heels with story number three.
Oh, man, you're not going to believe this one. So, General Mills and Costco have a history of teaming up in the month of May to support the Children's Miracle Network hospitals with usually just boxes that have, calls for fundraising on the back. But this year, they decided to go all out because the Children's Miracle Network Hospital's logo is a hot air balloon. So Lucky Charms has come out with a Costco-exclusive version of Lucky Charms that only includes red and yellow balloon marshmallows.
Wow.
Wow, I'm just giving everybody a chance to, you know, catch back up. I know a lot of people are sleeping during this podcast. They probably jolted up in their sleep at that news, but... This isn't the first time that Lucky Charms has done a different versions of the same marshmallow version of their cereal. We saw a Lucky Charms with three different rainbows, and we saw a Lucky Charms with three different unicorns. But now, in spite of that, we're just getting red and yellow balloons. The red balloons are the normal balloons, but the yellow balloons are basically just the pot of gold marshmallows without the sort of orange core to it. Mm-hmm. So... If you're really the type of person who only likes the balloon marshmallows and Lucky Charms.
Yeah, the flavor of balloon marshmallows is really rich in this one. And it kind of looks like ketchup and mustard.
Yeah.
Like dollops of ketchup and mustard.
It's thought inspiring.
Yeah. Dan, I don't know if all of our listeners know this, but I got my start in journalism writing about video games when I was just a wee boy of 12 years old. And I read about them for something like 20 years. But now it's so nice because I get to sit back and let you tell me a game review, to tell me how a video game is. And I know you've been thrilled. I know you've probably fashioned a chair out of your gigantic $400 Chex Quest box set, so you never have to be really away from it. How is Chex Quest?
HD? Chex Quest HD. I was just waiting for you to clarify there. I mean,
yeah, okay, let me clarify. We'll get it clean. Chex Quest HD.
It's a pretty solid game. Let me ask first, do you have a history of any sort with the game Chex Quest?
Yeah, I definitely played it, back when normal people played it. You know, when I don't know, was it stuck to boxes? Is that right? Mm-hmm. Or was it a download? Yeah. Definitely played it back then. Had some fond memories. But have not dipped back in lately.
So there's so much to talk about here. I could and might actually write a book about Chex Quest, but I think a lot about how when my parents in 1996 decided to buy Chex cereal on a whim, that they were pretty much, you know, destining?
Let's whatever. Go with destinating.
Sealing my destiny that I, their only son, would one day write a serial blog, because I found Chex Quest, the CD, back when I was very young, and the amount of fun that I had with it was enough to inspire me to start a serial blog so much later. But essentially, in short, the game was originally a conversion of Doom to be made more family-friendly. In it, you zorch Flemoids back to their own dimensions instead of shooting demons, but...
Just to clarify, we're zorching?
Zorching.
Mm-hmm. Zorching.
There's a whole lot of different zorchers. You need to keep up. So, Chex Quest came out in 1996. There was an immediate sequel released on the Chex Quest website, Chex Quest 2, Attack on Chex City. And then in 2008, the original game's art director, Charles Jacoby, released Chex Quest 3, which was a pretty radical expansion on the formula that was not licensed but was very well received by fans in the extended Chex Quest community, who also had been developing this game into all kinds of other mods, including multiplayer and original campaigns and all sorts of things. So Chex Quest had become this sort of community property that was very well treasured amongst its very niche community, while General Mills kind of kicked it to the curb not long after it was released. But now, in the year 2020, General Mills has reclaimed the Chex Quest lineage by officially sponsoring Chex Quest HD, which was a remaster of the first game by Charles Jacoby, yet again, who had started out on this effort all by himself, but by some magic of branding and marketing, his efforts got General Mills to catch on, and they radically expanded the game to release it to modern audiences as an expanded version of the original that is now Chex Mix branded rather than Chex Cereal, and it includes local multiplayer and a whole host of characters. So, long story short, as you may remember, I spent $150 on a very deluxe version of this game, only to be sent pretty much the same stuff for free for being the Chex Quest fan that I am. But if we're actually talking about the game itself, I think there's a lot to love and a lot to criticize about it. One, I think the characters that they've introduced are pretty great. They have pretty much a character to represent everything in Chex Mix. So there are two different pretzel characters, different robots, a rye chip scientist, and a wheat Chex companion to Fred Chexter himself. And I know, I'm getting lost in the sort of geeky sauce over here, but if I will say one thing about the game, it's that the 3D modeling is pretty impressive. The music is great because they tapped the original game's sound director as well, Andrew Benson. If I were to criticize anything about the game, it's that the weapons are so small on the screen compared to the original, and it just doesn't deliver the same sort of impact that the first game did. And if you're someone who didn't grow up on the game, even though this game is free to play on Steam, I know the standards for what a free game can offer have been raised as of late. So if you don't have that specific sort of mind bug that's latched deep into your brain about Chex Quest, this serial game from the 90s, then you're probably not going to understand what is going on in Chex Quest HD. But if you have even an inkling of a memory of the original game, you should give this a shot.
Well, good to know. I'm happy to hear it. I might give it a whirl. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean we can team up in multiplayer or otherwise.
Sure. There'll be a great live stream someday. We'll play Chex Quest for America. Not necessarily serial. Actually, we're going way over. No, all serial related. Well, not this next one, but, you know, breakfast-related, but not necessarily breakfast products. It's kind of a weird lull that we're in right now. But these next bars do look delicious, I will say, at least as a going by the pictures.
So this is adjacency on top of adjacency when it comes to cereal. So not only are we talking about Pop-Tarts, the toaster pastry, but we're also talking about Pop-Tarts Good Humor ice cream bars, the brown sugar cinnamon variety. So anyone who knows Good Humor probably knows that their strawberry shortcake bars are iconic. They're very great.
Scooter Crunch bars, my wife calls them.
Okay.
I know, it's a regional thing. I think she grew up in Georgia. I think it's a regional thing.
A regional dialect, yes.
Yeah.
But Good Humor teamed up with Pop-Tarts to release a branded bar. And since strawberry, which is the go-to, you know, face of Pop-Tarts as a brand, was already taken, they decided to release these brown sugar cinnamon bars. And I will say that while the art on the boxes of these things looks very, very attractive, the reality is far sadder.
Oh, no.
I got my Good Humor ice cream bar out of the packaging, and keep in mind that when reviewing any ice cream product, I am putting my own lactose intolerant digestive system at risk for the overall journalistic greater good. But when I looked at this thing, it kind of looked like a McDonald's hash brown that had been kicked under the stove and left to sort of stew for a while. I don't really know what you call it on the outside of these ice cream bars, like a breading of sorts.
Breading is gross, but it feels right.
The breading was very, very much lacking in any sort of flavor whatsoever. The inside of these bars is a little bit better. If you remember, we recently talked about Cinnamon Toast Crunch ice cream and how it was very, very forward in its cinnamon spice notes. But these brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts bars kind of take the opposite approach, and it is very, very sweet. There's only sort of a hint or a ghost of actual cinnamon there, and it's mostly just, you know, technically you can't call it ice cream because it's one of those air quotes, dairy dessert bars. So the ice cream inside, while it is kind of kissed by molasses and pretty pleasant, it doesn't deliver in terms of richness or density. So I can't really recommend this personally. I think that you're better off just going with the strawberry shortcake bar or maybe putting ice cream between two actual brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts, preferably those that have been frozen already.
I mean, that sounds good. That seems like a very good idea. That's galaxy brain level dessert design there. I was surprised to see this third item popped up because this is one that I've actually tried and enjoyed. So I'm very excited to talk about it.
Oh, that's interesting. We had gotten an email on our Empty Bowl account from a listener named Tasha who recommended Bones Electric Unicorn Fruity Cereal Coffee. This is not necessarily a brand new product, but I understand that this is one that has been recently reformulated to apparently taste more like cereal. I would like to hear your thoughts first, though.
Well, it's interesting. You know, okay, I should say that I drink coffee every morning, but I don't drink my coffee black ever. So I lose something with the flavor of any flavored coffee because I'm going to put some sort of creamer into it. That being said, I think that so this cereal popped up on this coffee popped up on Facebook for me one time, and I bought it, and I was so impressed with it that I actually continued to buy Bones coffee to this day because I thought their flavorings were so on point. And I would highly recommend their coffee. That being said, I found that this coffee was a bit more of a novelty for me. It's not one that I like continue to return to and stock up on. I kind of like got the idea after a while, even though it is kind of like an impressive feat of engineering, I guess is what I would say.
So it's funny that you mentioned about not drinking it black as adding dimensions to it, losing sort of the nuance of it, but I am the person who drinks their coffee black all the time, but this coffee was putrid when drank unadulterated by cream or sugar or milk or anything else. It basically requires that you add some milk to give it that sort of cereal milk consistency, because otherwise you're just sort of drinking, you know, dirty bean cereal water. But when you do add creamer, I agree that it's something very, very specific that you won't be able to drink every day. But I did think it was clever how they developed their own profile of what a fruity cereal could be. It didn't ring true with any one cereal fruity brand that I know, but it seemed like sort of a midpoint between Fruity Pebbles, which is just very generically artificially sweet, and Trix, which has a strong citrus note to it. So there is a little bit of sharpness to it, as well as an underlying sort of nebulous fruity sweetness. So this is something that, if you are already the type of person who is collecting many coffees, you can work this into your rotation without fail.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting... It's definitely worth trying. I would say definitely worth trying. It's not going to be like your standard... I think coffee, but it is a fun gimmick, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bones has a lot of different crazy coffee flavors out there if you want to stock your cart before you pay for shipping. I know they have like a PB&J version that I've always been interested to try.
I'm a big fan of their, they have a S'more Time, so a s'mores flavor that's very, very good. I would honestly recommend pretty much anything that they make. The Macamaniac is like a macadamia. Oh, it's good. Anyway, we're not here to shill for Bones coffee.
We're just here to shill for big cereal.
For big cereal, the industry that is cereal. We asked you, the people, remind me of this question, Dan. What was the question last time?
This was, what is your ideal cereal flurry from Dairy Queen?
Right. Yes. So if you were to make a blizzard from Dairy Queen, what mix in would you choose? So we're going to listen to those right now.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Peter checking in from Moss Beach, California, tiny bucolic coastal town about 22 miles outside of San Francisco that your wonderful podcast is just a great fit for. Anyway, Dairy Queen, Blizzard, cereal, Honey Nut Cheerios, right? It's got to be Honey Nut Cheerios. The taste, the consistency, I guess my vote. Keep up the good work.
Hi, Dan and Justin. This is Jasmine from Massachusetts. my ideal cereal blizzard plays off of a few concepts you've discussed on the show. Blueberry muffin toasters, cheesecake, blizzard. I think the sharpness and sweetness of the blueberry muffin toaster would pair well with the creamy flavor and texture of a cheesecake chunk. Thanks for listening.
Hello, Dan and Justin. This is October. My ideal cereal blizzard would be a mixture of Captain Crunch's Peanut Butter Crunch, as well as Oops All Berries pieces, all wrapped in vanilla ice cream to make a sort of peanut butter jelly cereal ice cream combo. Thank you for all the wonderful podcasts.
You know, it's interesting. I love Peter's suggestion. I think Honey Nut Cheerios would actually be very, very good. I keep going back to Golden Grahams, though.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Golden Grahams blended in there. I feel like you need something else in there, but I feel like Golden Grahams would be a really great flavor.
Yeah, there were people who did recommend Golden Grahams. I think everyone who submitted an answer to this. Personally, if I were to answer that question, man, it'd be really tough because there's so many cereal profiles that have already been done as sort of a broader dessert coalition. Maybe I would go with Cracklin' Oat Bran, just something very, very heavy and chunky that you could imagine sort of, you know, clogging up your straw as you try to drink it. I think that would be interesting.
Dan, the cereal world was rocked. I can't even joke about the world being rocked anymore. That's where we're at. The cereal world was rocked this week with a new design, or this month, more accurately, with a new design for Toucan Sam, who has gone from... I don't know how you would describe... He's become very Cartoon Network.
Mm-hmm.
If that specific style, if you have not seen, very Cartoon Network. His beak is now more psychedelic, I would say, and the long tortured appendages have gone from hands to feathers, and now appear to be. Stumps appear to just be one single blue stump. It is, you know, I'm not one of these people. You gotta change with the times. But I feel like it's fine. I don't know. It's less human, which I kind of appreciate.
Yeah.
It's anthropomorphized. What do you think?
I like the idea of it for sure. It is very much like an Adventure Time or Steven Universe type character design.
Yes,
We saw that with Lucky Charms not too long ago where they tried to redesign Lucky in a very similar sense, only to revert back to his more, you know, cel-shaded look. And I think it could have been done right. There are a lot of things wrong with it, especially the mouth, which seems to, you know, disregard the border between beak and flesh. Very, very disrespectfully. If I were to recommend anything for this design, I would just say square up the anatomy of it and make it more realistic and try to give some dimensionality to the personality, at least. Because when we see it in this one commercial where the new Toucan Sam has appeared, he is, you know, very flat in his vocalizations and his... characterization in general. So I think we mm-hmm. need to get more of this Toucan Sam's backstory. If this is indeed an alternate universe Toucan Sam who may have lived a very different life from the one who we know who has several nephews, etc.
Yeah, what is this Toucan? He looks younger, I would say, for sure. Which I guess seems good. But I don't know. I don't feel like I know much about him. If you were to redesign a cereal mascot that's out there, who is there one that you think is particularly ripe for a rebrand?
It's a very good question. I know there have been people who have asked us why there aren't any female cereal mascots out there, and I do agree.
Absolutely. It's so strange.
It's pretty messed up, and I remember researching it a while back to understand why this is, and there's some very, very dated answers to that about how people consider male voices to be more authoritative and convincing in shopping market environments, which seems like a very nebulous thing to try and quantify. So I think if we were to bring a more strong female character to the forefront of cereal, for example, Wheatley Chexworth from the new Chex Quest HD is a very thought-out character who I very much like, and I think that sort of same energy could be brought to other cereals. But it's a question of making something that's not just a female counterpart to an existing cereal mascot. I think we need sort of a rising among the ranks, sort of rebel in the soggy, anti-sog army of Cap'n Crunch, who can really give him a run for his money, because Cap'n Crunch, as we know, is very old. We have to imagine that he is out of touch with the conflict going on the modern breakfast table. So I think a hip young voice in the Crunch community could really go a long way to resuscitating what has been a very, very quiet year from Cap'n Crunch on the social media front.
I would like to suggest Dig'em Frog.
Yeah?
Because he is... I don't know if you have seen his design recently. It is insulting. I feel like Dig'em Frog has always been pretty boring. He's the Honey Smacks mascot. Dig'em Frog right now wears a yellow t-shirt with the words Dig'em, like his name, on it, cuffed jeans, and a sideways baseball cap.
Wow.
He is just a nightmare. And I would love to see Dig'em Frog, who's always been boring again. I would love to see him get a little bit more of a character or something. I mean, like, nobody could tell me anything about Dig'em Frog. No one really knows much about this guy. Talk about mascots who don't have a story. He's just a frog that, you know, I'm assuming he likes Honey Smacks, but, like, is he able to get them? Are there kids keeping them from him? Does he make them? I just feel like a little, maybe these are less design issues and more just like backstory, but I just want a Dig'em that's a little bit more nuanced.
I would agree with you there. I think the same could be applied then to the Sugar Bear from Post's Golden Crisp, who is basically the exact same cereal as Honey Smacks. Mm-hmm. I think he basically just wears like a blue t-shirt and no pants, like a shameless sort of wild beast, but I think a sort of gentle competition there could go a long way in terms of who could become the most hip in terms of, you know, streetwear or getting hip with the lingo in a way that's better than most brand Twitters.
Their cereals are the same. We should just combine them into one mascot. That seems the appropriate fate. Before we move into the close of the show, I wanted to remind people that they can reach out to us if they like. You can email us, mail@bowl.rest, or you can send us a voicemail if you go to bowl.rest and then click on message. Plug in a microphone and leave us your thoughts. Did you have a question this week, Dan, that we could address?
Yeah, I noticed we didn't mention that earlier.
Yeah, just occurred to me.
Something I was thinking when we were talking about the Bones coffee was the fact that there's so many fruits out there that have not been given representation in the cereal aisle. So what fruit do you think would be really, really good translated to cereal that's not already out there?
Oh, wow, yeah. Great question. Wonderful. So you can call us and let us know your answer to that, or anything else that's on your mind. Feel free to email. We're so appreciative that you're here with us. We hope you've enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, we'd like to thank Emily Loper for doing our editing as well as designing a very nice empty bowl t-shirt that I'm currently wearing while recording this. in a very meta sort of fashion.
Wow.
It's a very soft shirt, I will say. I will give credit to that. So if you're interested in an Empty Bowl shirt, you can just look for it on the McElroy Extended merch store. We'd also like to thank Chris Zabriskie for our opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, as well as at The Void and More on Twitter for providing our lovely new visual branding.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I love that look. Thank you so much for being here. We hope you're feeling a little bit more relaxed than we when we began. But be sure to join us again next time for the Empty Bowl. Until then, don't forget.
Whoa. You didn't even say for Dan Goubert before you even went into that.
That's right. For Dan Goubert, my name is Justin McElroy, and as always, don't forget to drink the milk. Did you? Sorry, Dan. That's how I'm doing it now.
I tried to buy myself some time.
No.